Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. The McCroskey Arts Center in Grand Rapids has a powerful, personal, and poignant exhibit on display. It's photography, it's poetry, it's prose, it's video, and it's prison. It's called Scene. Emily Baxter is one of the people who made this show a reality. She is the director of an organization called We Are All Criminals, and she's with me right now. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Tell us about Scene.
Scene is the latest project within the We Are All Criminals organization. With the most of the We Are All Criminals work, I interview people who have gotten away with crimes. So doctors, lawyers, legislators, professors, students, and we look at how their lives would be different had they been labeled a criminal. So through a series of collateral consequences, including state code, federal code, broader social stigma, we look at the doors that would have been foreclosed to them had they been caught. So the effects for decades from that incident, right? And we look at the privileges that they've experienced in life that have allowed them to live outside the crosshairs of the criminal legal system as a reflection of humility and privilege and the shared humanity. Mm-hmm. Now, with the Scene Project, I work with people who are currently incarcerated. So these are most certainly individuals who have been affected by the criminal legal system. And rather than looking at the incident itself that led them there or the series of incidents, I turn over the platform for these incredible poets and prose writers and memoirists to share their words and to share their humanity in a hope that we can collapse that gap between us and them.
Wow. How did you get into this work? And then I'm also wondering, how did you find the people who got away with their crimes?
Well, I actually got into this work very close to where you sit now. I was an assistant public defender with the Regional Native Public Defense Corporation. And I lived in Grand Rapids for a while and worked throughout Itasca County. And I was struck time and again by how once a person became ensnared in the criminal legal system, they just could not break free because of these collateral consequences that foreclosed doors to employment, housing, schooling, and more. And so I wanted to explore those collateral consequences. And then within that, these layers of privilege began to kind of blossom before me, my own included, most definitely. I'm a white woman. And I began to ask other people about crimes that they got away with, stories from college, from high school, from last night. And instead of just looking at the voyeuristic aspect or the humorous aspect of what they may have done and gotten away with, I put a statute to it. What is this called legally? This is, you know, sale of controlled substances, a theft, a burglary. And then what are those collateral consequences that would have prevented the people from living the lives they now enjoy? I truly contend that we are all criminals. We have all violated the law. Just a portion of us have the public and permanent record that proves it.
I'm kind of caught up on, you mentioned these layers and layers of privilege that you notice in your work. Did you notice the people who got away with their crimes? I'm wondering if you've noticed a difference in color as far as these layers of privilege that you're talking about with people who were able to get away with their crimes.
Without doubt. The vast majority of people whom I have interviewed have been white, affluent, or middle class, people who have committed crimes in communities that are not over-policed, in schools that don't have a school resource officer, in places where if there is an interaction with the criminal legal system, it isn't one that leads to arrest and incarceration. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, through these interviews, I have heard time and again examples of great policing, right? So officers stopping individuals who are engaged in criminal activity and essentially rerouting them home. There's one individual, an Ivy League student, who says that he grew up in an affluent community, a place where interactions with police were rare. The few interactions he had, he said, were respectful and innocuous. They would result in a tap on the shoulder and a suggestion to go home. That is much different than ending up face down on the pavement with a knee in your back and spending the weekend in jail, and then a criminal record that prevents you from moving on in life. And so the racial breakdown of the stories within Luxury to Forget, those stories of people who have gotten away with it, they're overwhelmingly white. Now, the folks that I work with who are incarcerated, and this also, you know, tracks with my experience as a public defender, the individuals who are brought into the criminal legal system are most definitely not overwhelmingly white, proportionately speaking. And I think that this project, We Are All Criminals, certainly does seek to shine a spotlight on the racial disparities within our criminal legal system from the start to the end and then back again.
How do you see, from your perspective, how do you see us turning this around or sort of coming into balance in some way as a society?
I honestly think that one of the first steps is what I ask people to do through the We Are All Criminals work, to think about the crimes that you have committed for which you have not been caught, and then think about how life would be different had you been caught, had you been labeled by that record, had you been labeled by that activity, been defined and confined by that criminal act. And then think about all of the doors that would have been foreclosed to you. Either you wouldn't have gotten that scholarship, you wouldn't have been able to go to that school where you met your wife. You wouldn't now have your two kids. You wouldn't be able to lead the parent group at school. You wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't have gotten your job or your promotion, the loan for your home. It goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And then think about the privileges that you experienced that allowed you to, again, exist outside the crosshairs of the criminal legal system, and extend that same context and compassion that you allow yourself. I was young, I was drunk, I was stupid, I was in a bad relationship, I gave it back anyway, no one got hurt, it wasn't my idea. Whatever though that context is that you allow for yourself, you can extend that to other people as well. It doesn't have to be an excuse, right? But it is an opportunity to recognize a common humanity. And then through that, I believe we can also then begin to examine these systemic underpinnings. What causes harm and violence, right? Prisons, for example, they don't disappear problems, they disappear people, and they exacerbate problems. So I think that once we can collapse the gap between us and them, once we can, we, those of us like myself who do not have a publicly accessible criminal record, people who are seen by our merit rather than our mugshot, I think that once we can approach the problem on an even playing field, once we can approach with humility, right, and reason and rationality and equity, then we can begin to figure out what this system and more broadly what society must look like in order to create a criminal justice system that earns that name, justice.
Wednesday night, you're part of an exhibit talk. It's virtual?
It is.
Okay. So if people go to the McCrastyArtCenter.org, they can access this artist talk.
That's correct.
Okay. If you could, I know this is a collaboration between your organization as well as the Minnesota Prison Writers Workshop. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So the Minnesota Prison Writing Workshop brings the vibrant literary community of Minnesota and beyond into the prisons. So they bring in these renowned writers and to both teach and mentor and then perform for the students inside. And the students inside then write and rewrite and revise in partnership then with their mentors on the outside. The MPWW is a brilliant organization led by Jen Bowen. It started some 7 or 8 years ago now, And through her, I met the writers that I work with now through this Scene project. So Scene only has a handful of the hundreds of MPWW students that have been writing behind bars now for a very long time. And some who have been published, many who have been published. It's extraordinary talent. It really is.
Mm-hmm. How did you decide which prisoner's stories would get in the show?
That was working with MPWW. Mm-hmm. I would encourage your listeners to stop by the McCroskey Art Center now. They can read some of the poetry and prose that's on exhibit, along with the portraits that I was lucky enough to be able to take, thanks to the Department of Corrections. I was able to go in with a camera and take portraits of people. At least ideally, I'm hopeful that the majority of these portraits, you can't really discern place. You focus instead on the human being on the other side of that lens. So I would encourage your listeners to go down to the Art Center and look at these. For those who don't have access, who are unable to head to downtown Grand Rapids, you can find many of the portraits and poetry, as well as some of the videos on our website at wearealcriminals.org/scene.
Yeah, beautiful portraits, beautiful prose and poetry. It made me think, I don't even care why these people, how they even got to prison, because at the end of the day, these are real people. Thanks for putting it together and humanizing all of this for us so that we can think about things in a different way and hopefully cultivate some change for the future.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Emily. That's Emily Baxter. She is the director of We Are All Criminals. And you can go to the McCroskeyArtCenter.org and check out the exhibit Scene and tune into Wednesday night's Artist Talk. Thank you. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the citizens of Minnesota.